Yes. No, I agree with you. It's fruit. But what was the fruit? That's all that's where we are asking. Which fruit? Which fruit? Praise the Lord. Sister, you know the story, so that we don't take time. You know the story. There were three types of trees in the Garden of Eden. The first one was the trees that grew from the ground. That's what the Bible says. And we were allowed to eat from any of them. There was also the tree of life. And then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, you should not eat of it, for the day you eat of it, that day you will surely die. Now, what is this tree? Which tree is that? And what is the fruit of it? So that's the question you should ask. And the thing they want to ask is that tree still available now? Is it still being eaten now? No, let me answer you first. Let me say some things. Let me just use 2 minutes, say some things. Now, I want you to note something, sister. When you are reading the Bible, I want you to know that the Bible is a book for redemption. This Bible is written by God Himself. And this Bible is not meant to be understood by every human being. It's not. And there are two books in this Bible that is so important. The book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. And even in Genesis, that is the entry of Satan into mankind. The entry of Satan into mankind. And that is Genesis. And then Revelation shows how Satan will finally end up. Now, these two revelations are so important that God wrote them in symbols, so that only His own will understand. Now, sister, so many believers, except John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5 says, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. And so everybody knows that you must be born again to enter into the kingdom. Now, but nobody takes time to find out, why must I be born again? What happened to the first birth that I had? Now, and unless you begin to ask such questions, you are just a religious person corrosing what you hear people say. I'm born again. I want to be born again. I'm born again. I want to be born again. You see, I preach a message that I titled, Why You Must Be Born Again. Not too many people know why you must be born again. The first birth that we were given birth to, this physical birth that we have, has been corrupted. Animal nature has been put inside human beings to make us act like animals. And that mystery is a mystery. It's a mystery. And it is called the mystery of iniquity. There are two mysteries in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. It said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. What is the mystery of iniquity? The mystery of iniquity started from the Garden of Eden. How Satan walked himself and took over mankind. It's a mystery. So mysterious until when you explain it to people, they think something is wrong with you. And yet, he has taken over. Sister, all this Navigy we are doing now, was Adam and Eve doing any Navigy? All this armed robbery, all these witches and wizards, all this occultic, another, a human being will take another human being for ritual killing. What happened? This is not how God intended us when he created Adam and Eve. So what happened? The Satan was looking at how will he take over, because he's in the business of perversion. How will he enter the human race and cause them to act like animals? Until God came and said he regrets creating human beings. And came using Noah's flood and wiped up everybody. But still, that nature was still in Noah and his children that crossed over to the other side. So every one of us, human beings today, we have the animal nature. How? This is how it happened. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sister, are you a member of this church? No. Eh? Today is your first time. You were here on Sunday. Last Sunday. So today is your... Okay, you are welcome. Hallelujah. Let me explain it. When I just, you know, I'm summarizing everything. What I'm telling you is three services. Three sermons. I'm only compressing them to give you a picture. Because I know you know the story. Now, the Bible says that they ate food. They ate a fruit. And suddenly their eyes were open. And that eye that was open, they decided they knew they had done something wrong. They took leave and cover the mouth that they used to eat. Am I correct? Am I correct? Am I correct? Church, listen. For those hearing us for the first time, listen. In the whole creation of man, it is only the female, that has two mouths that she eats from. Amen. It is only the female that has two mouths that she eats from. Amen. Okay, give her Bible. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Read it loud, sister, verse 20. Read it very loud, verse 20. Read it very loud. Repeat. Repeat again. Now, it's going to explain to you an adulterous woman. Read on. She does what? Adultery. What has adultery got there by eating and wiping mouth? So you know the mouth referred to now. No. Okay, finish that verse. Finish the verse. Start it again. Such is the way an adulterous woman. So if a woman goes and sleeps somewhere and come back, she go bath clean, will you know anything has taken place? Do you understand? Now the Bible says that after the earth of that fruit, they covered their nakedness. And where they covered was not this mouth they covered. You know where they covered? is the mouth they ate from. That is one. Praise the Lord. Now, what actually happened is that Satan possessed or inspired the animal serpent. Because the Bible said the serpent was an upright being, subtle, so intelligent, until he could talk and convince a woman to disobey God. And that is the closest link with mankind, because why I say some things, in causing Adam, Adam's punishment was, you know, Adam was not directly caused. The ground was caused for him. In sweat, he would till the ground. That means, before that fall, how were they tilling the ground? The animal serpent was the one doing the job for them. That's why he was so close to the family. That was why that animal was created, to serve that family. And now, the animal went and taught Eve, listen church, that taught her sex for pleasure. Church, it was sex for pleasure. It was sex for pleasure. And that is what God was against. Sex is not for pleasure, it is for procreation. Amen. That's why God hates fornication and adultery till today and till tomorrow. What is fornication? It's sex for pleasure. It has a beginning where it started from. But while serpent was seeing that act as sex for pleasure, Satan had a motive. Satan knew that in meeting that woman, the animal will plant a seed in that womb. Satan knew it. If he can, through that woman, mingle an animal seed, mingle animal nature with human nature, then that animal nature in a human being, he, Satan, can easily come, anoint that animal nature, and cause a human being to act like an animal. That was the whole mystery. That's all he wanted to achieve. How was he going to achieve it? This is what he did. He anointed this woman, the serpent. The serpent had sex with the woman, and the woman saw that it was actually pleasurable. They had not known it before then. And went to Adam and convinced Adam. See this thing where they look every day, they look every day like this. There's pleasure there. Please permit me. There's no other way I can speak this thing now. There's no other way. Thank you. Just permit me. Now she asked me that kind of question this night. Hallelujah. Adam too now. Put your own inside. The Bible said partake. So he too did it. Amen. Praise the Lord. In a normal sense, Adam will have put away that woman. Adam was a prophet. Adam was a spiritual person. Adam knew the law. That was why, instead of him to put her away, he decided to identify with her because he loved her so much. So let me identify with you. Make all of us look. Adam is a type of Christ. That's why Christ is known as the last Adam. As Adam is to Eve, that is how Christ is to the church. Hallelujah. Christ did not commit any offense, but he came to his bride and identified with her fall. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that he too will be partaker of the punishment for sin, because he loved us. Amen. Now, the woman took him and brought forth two children. Now, how do we know that the two children are not fathered by Adam? How? By their fruit. We shall know them. Two children were born. One was acting as a true child of God, revelated, and acting as a human being. But the other one came, was acting as an animal, deviant. Hallelujah. Where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? What are you saying? Hallelujah. And who taught a human being, the first two children on earth, how to kill? It is animal that kill another animal for food. So the action of murder is an animal nature. And that's what Satan wanted to achieve. He had a human being that is full of animal nature that he cannot begin to exhibit the evil traits. Hallelujah. We know what happened. Abel is dead. Cain is sent away. But exactly working out his plan, time went on. Adam had another child, Seth. The Bible says, it is only after Seth was born that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it may be before then, praise the Lord, that animal had gone. And watch it, the line of Seth began to produce children. Amen. They had daughters. Cain came and picked one of them for wife. So that marked the beginning when the sons of men. So sons of men. Which ones? Is it sons of God? So the daughters of men. Hallelujah. Cain began to produce. Remember that is a program of Satan. Began to produce women. Women that are so attractive. Hallelujah. That the line of the godly saints saw them and went and picked them for wives. When a normal human being picked a serpent seed, the lineage of Cain, for wife, the children that we produce, all we have animal nature in them. And that is how the whole world was now corrupted, with every human being having a little bit of that animal nature. And then Satan now releases Eve, until God regretted creating man. Your nature has been tampered with. That's why you must be born again. The new birth takes care of that animal nature inside of you. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things, the nature that was corrupted, are done away, they pass away. You become new. One, it goes to your heart and takes away the stony heart and puts a heart of flesh. Gives you a new spirit, then puts his spirit inside of you and causes you to live a life pleasing before him. That is the doctrine of the new birth. Why you must be born again. What happened in the Garden of Eden produced this. I just summarized everything for you.
Why is it that God visited Abraham and said, take your only son, Isaac? He did not recognize Ishmael. And why is it that God Lord. And when he says because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we don't say because of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. We need to go
The woman is studying our messages. They don't tell her what they preach for her. Now you're mixing two things. Ishmael and Isaac is a different story from Esau and Jacob. Now, Ishmael and Isaac, God, I think I preached this 2 weeks ago. Try and get the tape. Or they don't give you the tape. Try and get the tape. That story is not an ordinary story. It has to do between you and me here today. Hallelujah. God promised, in a summary, I want to summarize it for you. God promised Abraham a child. 25 years was going. It was not forthcoming. Sarah was getting older and older. Abraham himself was getting older and older. And on the advice of impatient Sarah, make you not come down, you don't leave any seed. Kuku, take my housemaid, going into her for wife, and get a child for yourself. Abraham, who not going to accept free gift, he accepted it to prove to Sarah that the problem why we not get child, not be me. Make I confirm it for you. Anyway, Ishmael was born. Small time, I think it's chapter 17 or so. Small time, God came again and began to bless Abraham. And Abraham said, he said, I will bless you with a seed. Abraham said, you don't forget. That Ishmael might live. God will say, Ishmael, I will bless him. And everything. He said, but the seed that you are going to have will come from the womb of Sarah. That promise that I said, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He said, the promise of a child, he said, will come from Sarah. He said, although I bless Sarah and Ishmael, but and he really blessed him. He promised him 12 princes. He said he will make him blessed, rich. Until today, they are still rich because the Arabs, they are the Ishmaelites. Very rich. But he also told them, the angel told Sarah, what's her name? Hagar. About Ishmael. The child you will born, he will be blessed, but he will be wild. Hallelujah. He will be wild. He said, his hand shall be against every man and every man's hand shall be against him. Is that not what is happening in the whole world today? Okay, that is where the story started. And he told Abraham, by this time of life, your wife will give birth to a child. And gave the name that the child will bear. And exactly that time came and Isaac was born. According to the prophecy. God came back again another time and repeated that promise. He said, in thee, in thy seed. Let her read one scripture. Galatians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let's just read only that scripture. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When you come to Bride Assembly, we're a Bible church. Okay, read verse 21.
Praise the Lord. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?
Okay.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one by one man, the other by a single woman. But he who was
But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. It was produced by carnal means. Okay, read on. But
he of the free woman was by
the one by the free woman was by promise. So Ishmael was from the flesh, man's idea. But Isaac was according to the promise of God. Go to verse 28, read it. Yes. Okay, go to verse 31. Now, you see, when you say we, it's talking about the church. That means, you know, if you read further, Apostle Paul said it was that story of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael, Haggai, and Sarah. He said it was an allegory. It was supposed to be speaking of something. Hallelujah. One father, Abraham. One father. Abraham fathered Ishmael. Abraham also fathered Isaac. But although they are from the same father, one was by a carnal arrangement, while the other one was according to thus said the Lord. Telling us that the church of Jesus Christ is made up of two groups. There are two churches, all holding to the Lord Jesus Christ. One is a denominational church. The other one is the Word Bride Church. That we do nothing except it is thus saith the Lord. And so, if you read the church history, it said as the one from the bond woman persecuted the one from the free woman, say even so it is now, right from the first church age. If you refuse to join the denominational system, the false church, they will kill you. And William Branham said elect cannot persecute elect, and but Ishmael was persecuting his brother Isaac. And so the woman said, what should be done to them? He said, cast them out. Cast out the woman and her child. And now, the denominational system, they have been cast out. This time, cast out from what? From the true revelation for salvation. They know nothing about it. Anyway, that is for Ishmael and Isaac. Jacob and Esau. Now, that is in Romans chapter 9. Now, Esau was the firstborn of Rebekah. Am I correct? Now, was supposed to be the firstborn, was the firstborn. Therefore, there are the rights for the firstborn, the birthright. But because of hunger, food to eat, he disregarded his birthright and sold his birthright to Jacob. Because of that action, God hated it. But the question you want to ask is, the two children were yet in the womb of Rebecca. Is that what you're asking? Before they were born. Hallelujah. God, before they were born, God spoke, calling their names in their mother's womb before they were born. Esau, I hate. Jacob, I love. Why? By foreknowledge. Amen. Did God know that you will be here today? Sister, answer me. Before you were born, before you were formed in your mother's womb, did God know that you will be here today? Amen. That's why Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, it says, for whom he did foreknow, He did predestinate. Foreknowledge, there's something he knows concerning you in advance. He did predestinate. Your destination, because of that knowledge, was determined before you were even born. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is, you are a Christian today by the foreknowledge of God. Foreordained. Now, how? That is the doctrine of eternal security. I hope it's not among the questions you want to ask me now. Because that is another long talk. Anyway, it is foreknowledge. Let me end it at that today. Eh? Designer. Well, church, listen. It is expected. Hallelujah. Now, because the question is very important. It is expected that every human being, you have your heart desires. You have your heart desires that you want to achieve. Sure. And every human being is supposed to have, that is what is called vision. You're supposed to be visionary, ahead, planning for your life and things like that. But always remember too, that in charting your own life, this is how I want to marry a banker. He must be tall, handsome. It must be this, it must be that. While you are doing that, always remember that there is also the perfect will of God for you. Hallelujah. You see? Always, so that you don't get disappointed. The true children of God that are not revelated, they get disappointed. When their wishes, their heart desires, don't come to pass the way they expected. But when you meet a true child of God that is only ready to walk by God's perfect will, then he has a standby scripture that is supposed to be a shock absorber. That is Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because remember, every one of us, there is God's purpose in our life. And whatever we work against the purpose of God in your life, God will never allow it. His purpose is paramount. So while you are designing your life, this is how I want it, this is how I want it, remember that you don't own yourself. And that while God can honor your faith, but if it is going to work against his will, then he will frustrate it. Talk. You have microphone. Is that your last question now?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, there are two ways of finding. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But there are two ways of finding. You either find it spiritually, or you find it physically. Carnally. When you want to find it spiritually, that is when you go pray. And go with, let you see it in the spirit, because that is where you are finding it. But remember, he will still will not force you to marry what he shows you, even in your dream or your vision, whatever revelation you have. It still leaves you to make the decision, because if it see him and say, no, like, so be apart. Maybe this kind of I want. So that is it. Let's clap our hands for this sister now. Number what? Which number now? Which is the next number? Eh? Number 5? Hey, come. Yes, let me hear you. Hallelujah. God bless you.
My question is this. In your business essays, if you are talking about photocopy and protocopy.
Yes. Cha. Let me hear you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, it is possible on this condition. William Branham said that the problem with the church believers, Christians these days, he said, when they go to church, instead of receiving the Holy Ghost, they receive the spirit of one another. Do you understand? Now, when you come to church, you don't go and receive the spirit of your pastor. If you receive the spirit of your pastor, you will walk like your pastor. You will talk like your pastor. You will make your hair like your pastor. Do you understand? But if you receive the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, you will become unique in yourself. The reason is this: by one spirit are we baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Now, if you are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, you become a functional member of that body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you are coming into the body of Christ as a particular part of that body. The body of Jesus Christ, one body, different members. One Moses Alu, one body, Moses Alu, made up of different parts. The hand, the leg, the head, and every other part of the body. So now, the hand, if the hand is coming into the body, you will come and function as the hand. But if the hand decides to like leg too much and begins to come into the body and begin to walk like leg, you know there will be a problem. You see? So, when we talk about prototype and what you say, photocopy and original, what is it called? Photocopy. And protocopy. Are you a printer? Praise the Lord. No, it is wrong. Be yourself. Don't be like any man. There is only one man we are to be like. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger. On earth I long to be like him. My faithful Savior, how rich is favor. On earth I long to be like, to be like him, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like, oh, to be like him. Say it if you want to be like Jesus. Oh, on earth I long to be like him. Yes, sir. All through life journey, from earth to glory, I only ask. Oh, how many brothers know it? Brothers, brothers, to be like him. Sing it, brother. Sing it loud if you know it. Let me hear the sisters now. To be like him. Sing it, sister. On earth I love to be like you. Yes, sir. Now listen. Now listen. Serene and holy, obedient, lowly. Yes, sir. On earth I love. Yes, sir. Oh, and heir of heaven, on earth I love. Oh, to be. Everybody now, to be like him, to be like Jesus. Yes, sir. On earth I long to be like him. A true life journey, from earth to glory, I only ask. Yes, sir. Be like Jesus, because our destiny is to conform to his image, according to Romans 8, verse 29. I think I've answered your question. Hallelujah. Which scripture? Okay. Hallelujah. Were you in Jehovah Witness before? Eh? No. Go ahead.
And when the sons of the prophets, which were to build a temple, saw him,
The first, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elijah. And they came to Jesus and bowed down, served to the ground before him. So all to know is, in any way, Elijah and Elijah was following God. The particular is very good. Just a man, Elijah required the power of Elijah. So the pastor said, if you could know them, I'm pretty taken out that my God power is not for you to be able to use. So just a man, he knew when the spirit of fire came down and divided him asunder. And the power was given to Elijah. So in any way,
whether something like that can happen now. That if a man is taken away now, somebody is following the master. So listen, your thinking is coming from some big man of God that is preaching and pointing people to himself. Now be careful. Listen, church. We have only one. Look, there was Elijah and Elisha. In the Old Testament, they were a type of something in the New Testament. There is a man that walked the shores of Galilee. He had disciples. Hallelujah. Like Elijah was taken up, he too, at the Mount of Olives, before his disciples, he was taken up. But while he was taken up, the anointing that was on him, before he left, he said, those that believe in me, the works that I do, they shall do also, and more than this shall they do, like Elijah did. After Elijah was taken away. So, that man that was a type of Elijah is the Lord Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was taken up. He told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. And he was going all around the whole Israel and performing signs and wonders and miracles. But after the day of Pentecost, when that anointing that was on him came upon those disciples, look at the whole book of Acts and the New Testament, they performed more miracles in number than he, Jesus Christ. That is what it means. No man, if God take me away today, Thomas, my anointing will not fall on you, double lie lie. Lie lie, because you have your part to play. I have my part to play. There will be no vacuum. God will fill it. But not the anointing on me. Praise God. So stop listening to such people that preach that type of gospel. Finish. Thank you very much. You don't finish now. It's like you like this microphone. Right? Okay, you don't want to release it. Go ahead. Is that the last question? Thank you. Speak the same tongue he's speaking. Shake head the way he shake. Thank you. I think I've answered you today. God bless you. Hallelujah. Church, let's clap our hands for the Lord. Number six. Who is the person? Did I finish? Who is somebody? Who is the next person? Who? Okay, she's coming. Yes, let's listen to her. Hallelujah. Talk loud so that they can hear you. Church, listen. You see, when you meet people who are legalistic, who want to remain the way they are, and still hold Bible and go to church and speak in tongue, they will face you with all manner of arguments. See? We have a visitor here, but you get to know him on Sunday. Pastor Stephen is from Liberia. He's a message believer from Liberia. Okay, don't worry. He will preach on Sunday here. Now, why I remember him is I was with him when we went to see off Brother Johnson. Our brother came from America. He went back to the U.S. yesterday. But while we were waiting for his flight, we were in a restaurant. And he's such an evangelist that everybody he meets, he must preach to him. And so, we saw the next table to us, some people were sitting down there and drinking beer. And quickly, he was reaching out and chatting with him. And in the course of the chat, the elderly man, he's a chief, because he gave me his complimentary card, he's a chief. From Delta. Now he said, is there anything wrong with drinking beer, alcohol? He said, is there anywhere in the Bible that says we should not drink alcohol? He said, the only thing is that we should not be drunk. So there's nothing wrong. Now listen, the truth is, there is nowhere in the Bible that says you should not drink alcohol. There is nowhere in the Bible that says you should not drink alcohol. There is nowhere in the Bible that says you should not smoke cigarette. There is nowhere in the Bible that says you should not take cocaine. There is nowhere like that in the Bible. So why are you disturbing us? Let's smoke our cigarette. There's nothing. Doesn't God know about cigarette? Amen. So you see the argument? Now, did the Bible say trouser? The Bible didn't say trouser. Neither did the Bible say skirt. Hallelujah. Well, I turned and I looked at that elderly man yesterday at the international airport. I told him, I said, sir, I believe you're a Christian. He said, yes. I said, I am a Christian too. I used to drink more than you are drinking now. There were three of them, one white man with one prostitute by his side. But certainly it's a prostitute. Because that man was wearing wedding ring. So he's an expatriate here, feeling all right with Nigerian prostitute. And I said, I used to chase woman too like that. The girl started laughing. I said, remember I used to drink, pointing to the old man. And I used to womanize, pointing to the Igbo and the girl. I said, but something happened. I said, there is an experience I received. That experience, when I received that experience, I said, which experience? The white man is a very funny man, Brother Stephen. He turned and looked at the old man talking to me. He said, Chief, you are too old to be born again. Hallelujah. He said, Chief, you are too old to be born again. So stop talking about Bible. Nobody is too old to be born again. Hallelujah. And nobody is too sinful to be born again. Amen. Anyway, I told them, I said, there was an experience I received. When I gave my life to Christ, there was something that happened to me inside. That the taste of alcohol died without anybody preaching about alcohol to me. I said, there's something that came inside of me that killed the desire to go after any woman that is not my wife. I said, it died. I said, Chief, wait, continue to drink your beer until you receive that experience. Sister, when it comes to what to wear and what not to wear, it depends on the experience you have received. All these things we teach, we don't need to teach them. Apostle Paul says, go on to perfection. Some of these elementary, don't paint, don't palm, don't wear trousers. Don't. They are elementary things. A Christian is, you say you're a Christian, they are still telling you stop fornication. You know, something is wrong with you. There are some basic things that once you give your life to Christ, they should die naturally. Your taste buds will change. When a woman is, we are not telling you drop trousers so that you will go to heaven. There are people that are not wearing trousers and they will go to hell. It's more than that. But if you are truly converted, your mode of dressing will change. Not because Bible says so. A woman is a woman. A man is a man. There is a garment of a man and there is a garment of a woman. And we should not bring chalk and blackboard and be designing the clothes. We know it. Thank you. Another one? Okay. Church. Thank you. Okay, the distance. Yes. Where are you coming from? You see, listen. You see, your connection to this church comes through two ways. Number one, it is first spiritual. Then, it is your physical presence here. Spiritual in the sense that in this church, we are not preaching membership. Thank you. We are preaching membership of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And the bride of Jesus Christ has no address anywhere. They are spiritually located. They are spiritually connected in doctrine, in everything at all. That is one. Secondly, every ministry has an umbrella. It's an umbrella, I mean to say, whereby people come together, God raises a man or ministers to watch over them as overseers. That is what we call, give ourselves an address. And then you are brought under that, because when God truly calls a man, he gives him his commission, he backs him up. So now, our own members, what first and foremost we make you our member is that you two cannot work together except if they agree. First and foremost, you believe totally what we stand for, and you are ready to defend it wherever you are. Our members don't remove a ring when they are coming to church, but when they leave, they wear it. They are not our members. Do you understand? They are our visitors. We have many visitors that come from Christ Embassy, they come from Winners, they come from where again? You know? They come from everywhere. They visit us. So they are not our members, they are our visitors. But our members, that is how we identify them. They believe what we believe. Then they fix themselves. Remember that if you are born again, you are born again into a body of gifts. You are a functional member. No member of the church must be redundant. You have something to supply for the progress of the ministry. Either your finances, if you are too busy, or you are an intercessor, joining a prayer group, or whatever is your talent. If you are a singing talent, you join the musicians, or if you are a lawyer, you join the legal department, or you join the coordinators, you are a young, strong man, because when the anointing comes down, you know, so we need strong people to hold men and women. Coordinating department, or if you're in the armed forces, the security services, you join our security department. Or you're a journalist, you join our press department. Or you're an engineer, you join our maintenance department. You have so many departments you can join, and you join it fully, contributing your own part. That makes you our member. God bless you. The last person, is it the last person now? You? Yes. I think I finished the numbers. Come, yes. Come, let me hear you. Let me hear you, sister. Talk. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have just 30 more minutes. To. You are not clear of what? Yes. Why Jesus Christ was? Okay. Listen, church, I think I've always corrected this. I didn't say, show you from the way you speak, you go to school. I didn't say Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I didn't say so. I said Jesus is the name. That name, Jesus, is the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It is the name. Are you okay now? You are not okay. But let me go further. When you, because you asked, you say, who was he talking to? When he was hanging on the cross. My father, why have thou forsaken me? Okay, pick your Bible now. Okay, Matthew chapter 1. Hallelujah. You are there? Read verse 18. From verse 18. Matthew 1 verse 18. It's like they use glass. Can we read King James Version? Okay, help her. Okay, I would like her to read it by herself. Sorry, help her pick this. Yes. Wait, Joe. Can you carry big Bible? Give lady like this. Don't know, there is feminine everything. Hey. Thank you. Verse 18. You need glass. This light is not bright enough. Let. No, wait. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. You are not married. Look for any single brother here. Give him a microphone to read for you. Anyone here? Any single brother here? Anyone you like here? Go ahead. Let me read it for you. That's right. Stand up, brother. Ha! The guy is rejecting you. Help out. The guy is rejecting her. Yes? Listen. We want to know the father of Jesus. Which father was he referring to? Put the microphone in your mouth so that it can be loud. Yes.
Before they came together, she was found with child of the Lord.
Before Joseph and Mary could come together, she was already pregnant with a child of who?
Holy Ghost.
Who was the father of that child?
Holy Ghost.
Wait. She was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. You are a child of who? You, who be your papa name? You are a child of Emmanuel. Before Joseph could meet with Mary, she was found with a child of who? So who was the father of that child? What's the name of that child? So when Jesus was saying, my father, why have you forsaken me? Who was he calling? So the Holy Ghost is the father of Jesus. Correct? Fine. So Jesus had a father. But his name is the name of the father. Is it? The name of the son is the name of the father that the father gave the son. All right. Now you understand. Oh, I should give you scripture. You understand. So, what is the name of the son? What is the name of the father? What is the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Simple. Okay, she understood it. That's why baptism is done in the name of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Have you been baptized?
Yes.
Oh, you were baptized without understanding? Okay, go ahead. Sorry, were you baptized in this church? Okay, go ahead. Okay, so you want to see me later? Okay, I will see you. Before it becomes too late. No. Before it becomes too late. Does it concern marriage? Okay, let me hear you. When there's one brother that wants to disappoint you, let's attack it. No. The whole church will stand up and call the boy's name. Yes. Talk to the microphone. That what? Oh, you are saying that the Bible says the day that you eat out of that food, that day you will die. You are saying they ate and they didn't die. No, they died that day. Let me explain it for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, listen, that one day our 1,000 years is how many days before the Lord? Talk to the microphone. That's what 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us. So, our own 1,000 years, when you live on earth, your 1,000 years, God will count how many days? One. Amen. And do you know that no man has lived up to 1,000 years? That day ye shall die. So that one day is death. But more seriously, what is death? Death is separation. Death means separation. When your spirit man, your soul is separated from this body, what happens to you? You are dead. There is a separation of your soul from this body. That's why they say you are dead. Then, there is the spiritual death, which is more serious, is separation from God. And that is the real death. So, the day you eat of that fruit, that day you shall die. From that day, physically, death began to walk in our members. Every day you are dying, brother. No, it's true. Eh? Every day you are dying. Eh? Every day of your life, when you sleep, you wake up, you are one day closer to your grave. Every day, you look at your skin very well, it's dead. Now, so you be 20 years ago, your hair and your tray be. You don't die. Your eyes are dying. The older you go, the dead die, the eye, the die.